retirement accounts and everything involved with the stock market if you had money in it. And you paid very, very close attention to that. And it plummeted. It really did. It seems to, and this is just one bystander's take, it seems to have steadied out and kind of rebounded a little bit. And so I thought, we're going to get Trevor Hanger on. Trevor is a strategic advisor with Forbes Tate. And he's, when we've called him, he's been willing to give us some of his time. And so he did again. Trevor, good to have you on News and Views.
Thanks for having me back.
Why? Why is this stock market, or am I wrong, has it not stabilized?
No, I think it's certainly settled down quite a bit from the real drama and the traumatic selling in March. There are a couple reasons why I think you've gotten a nice rebound in those U.S. stock markets. I think one is investors and everyone at home has gotten a little better understanding of what we're dealing with here with this pandemic. It was obviously a real sort of unknown force there for a while, and people have gotten a better handle on that. I think the intervention that the Fed has taken, the Congress has taken and injected into the economy, has put some life and some stability underneath it. Certainly for now, sort of remains to be seen if that's longer term. And I think that you're also coming off a decade where when the market started to dip a little bit, people got conditioned to buy it, and so people have stepped in here and put a little floor into the market for the time being.
So when I saw that, I wondered how the market would react to all this massive debt that the nation has taken on. Does that affect the market anymore?
I think for now, the market's concerned more with deflation than it is with inflation. You typically expect spending like this to boost prices and drive up inflation, and that would be a big concern. And in the long run, it still may be. But I think for now, the focus is on injecting as much as is needed to give as smooth a ride and as soft a landing to people and to businesses as possible, because realistically, that's where the primary concern is at the moment.
Will we ever see high interest rates again? I mean, it seems like every time that there's an indicator that interest rates may go up, it seems like they take it down to the point where interest rates aren't really part of the issue anymore.
Yeah, certainly the cutting rates in these times of crisis is a standard playbook for the Fed and for central banks all over the world, and that obviously keeps inflation low. And, one of the other big factors in keeping inflation low over the years has also been keeping energy prices relatively in check as well, for better and for worse. I do think eventually there'll be a cost to injecting trillions and trillions of dollars into the economy, but that's certainly, I think, much further out than historically economists might have envisioned for something like this. You're a ways off before you're going to have to start dealing with the inflationary effects of all of this money coming into the system.
Trevor Hanger is our guest. He's a strategic advisor with Forbes Tate Partners. Check it out. I mean, go online, do the Google. You're going to find him. Trevor, the one thing that was a big strength to our economy over the last, a couple administrations, if they're going to lay claim to all of this, is the fact that, people had jobs and they had the ability to move into different jobs. With what's going on now with the unemployment rate and everything like that, when this economy bounces back, will people be fighting for jobs, and will those jobs be at a lower wage because employers don't have to compete the way they used to compete for that employee?
So I think this recovery is likely to be unusual compared to some of the ones we've seen in the past. The shock of shutting down the economy as quickly as we did likely leads to a bounce back. It's better than maybe what we saw over the course of the 12 years from 2008 till the end of 2019, and so in some ways I think you'll get it's a little springier at the bottom, but I do think that the nature of the pandemic means that longer term, which is to say, call it or medium term, let's say call it 6 to 18 months, you know, the speed with which the economy gets back to where it was, you know, 6 months ago is, I think, really an open question. I think a lot of that will have to do with how much continued support the you know, the Congress can provide to businesses to get them through this patch. You know, wage growth was never a strong point of what went on over the recovery post-recession during the Obama years, or even early in the Trump administration. And so it's not, I think it's not unfair to say that you know, we're not looking at strong wage growth here in the near future. But I think, you know, for now, the priority is that you got to keep businesses open. You got to keep places from shuttering up for good. And you got to get as many people back into the workforce in some way, shape, or form as possible, because that's what it's going to take to kind of rise the tide across the board. And with any luck, I think you'll see more help from Congress. Hopefully it's broad based. Hopefully it's, you know, it's not picking winners and losers. Hopefully it's really injecting, you know, across all areas of the country, all sectors, all regions, to really sort of keep this thing buoyed.
There's something about knowing that if you don't like your job, you could find another one easily, though, that injects optimism into the economy, that makes people who maybe at the end of the month are living check to check don't worry about being unemployed. And now many people are unemployed. And I just wonder what type of effect that's going to have, Trevor.
So psychologically, I mean, I think that plays a huge role, and it factors into how people spend versus how they save. It factors into how much, you know, debt they're willing to take on, you know, personally or as a, you know, or as a family. And so certainly I think you're going to need to, you know, politicians, leaders, business leaders, people are going to need to do what they can to inject a measure of confidence back into, you know, back into the workforce and back into the sort of the American worker, as it were. It is a challenge. I think, you know, you're seeing probably some fundamental shifts within certain industries that will limit a little bit of that mobility and will limit some of those opportunities in the near term, in the medium term. I wish I had a better, you know, more positive note for you on that front. But I do think it's a fair concern to say, yeah, that some of that mobility, some of that flexibility, some of that security that came with knowing that we had a, you know, a healthy jobs market that allowed people the opportunity to move around when the time was right for them. It's going to be a little while before we're back to that, but I think that's a great, you know, it's the right goal. It's where we should be trying to get to through this, you know, moving past the sort of early relief stages of this into like a full blown economic recovery.
It seems to me there's certain businesses, of course, that really get whapped. I mean, retail, obviously, the you know, the hospitality industry, we all know what's happened there. But are any of these companies, I was thinking of J.Crew and some of the others that have kind of pulled the pin, are mm-hmm. any of them using this as a reason to pull the pin, that maybe they could hang in there a little bit, but it's like, look, retail isn't going to make it anyway. See ya.
I think that, you know, there is, in some industries, there's always kind of a, there are these cycles where, you know, there's a bit of a reckoning that comes when sectors get overextended, or they take on too much debt, or they expand too fast and they need to contract a little bit. You know, in this type of an environment, I think it's difficult for a company that's heavily debt laden, or that's in a sector that isn't performing as well, to look out to the medium and longer term horizon and say, you know what, we can find our way through this the old-fashioned way, and we're better off doing that than we are restructuring and trying to change the you know, the way we operate and what our balance sheet looks like. J.Crew, you know, J.Crew has been battling a very heavy debt burden for many, many years after a leveraged buyout that happened, and that's a risk that company took years and years ago by you know, by being bought out and taking on all that debt. So I think there are some companies that are going to have a very hard time looking out and saying, okay, I'm going to fight through this. But again, I think a lot of this is going to come down to how much support that you can generate, you know, from Congress, how much financial support you can get to these businesses to cover lost revenues, to you know, to give companies essentially that bridge to get back to, you know, close to where they were pre-pandemic, and give them a fighting chance to make it out on their own.
There are certain companies, though, and the reason I brought that up, Trevor, is because some of the companies kind of were in that, you know, obsolete in 10-year kind of a thing, 5-year kind of a thing. You know, I mean, look at what Amazon's done. Look what others have done. And so these companies already were seeing the end coming, so to speak. And I am not saying this to be media cheap. Some are going to take it that way. But I've said before that I'm a fan of papers. I like to read them the old-fashioned way, but I'm 58 years old. You know, and it seems to me that the paper industry, the hard copy industry and all of that is really paying a price throughout all this in my line of work. In the radio advertising world, we're holding our own because people want to, you know, send wishes out, do all of this, but they're cutting the papers that I can hold down. And so does this bring the demise of certain industries like that quicker?
So that's certainly a fear. And I think one of the things that I would hope our political leadership would want to avoid is the sort of hastening, decline and death of some of those industries. I think, you know, if market forces dictate that, you know, it's harder for paper media or it's harder for retail because we live in a world that shops more online and people are discovering ways to do that now that they didn't necessarily appreciate before. You know, that's what's going to happen. And that's sort of the natural progression of some of the business cycles and sectors that we have in this country. It goes back hundreds of years. Right. But I think to use this as I think it would be unfortunate if, people throw up their hands and they say, you know what, this is the end. This is where we draw the line here, because this pandemic that was out of really, anybody's hands. It's not the fault of any of these industries or any of these companies is the thing that really brings that about. I think if you can get through to the other side, there's no guarantee that, you know, natural sort of market forces don't bring those businesses or those sectors to a different place than where they were going in, or where they were 5 years ago or 10 years ago, or however long the sort of slide's been happening in those industries. But it's important, I think, to feel as though these places are changing and they're, they're evolving, or they're going away for the right reasons, for honest reasons, and for, for the betterment long-term of the way we all live our lives, than it is to watch them simply succumb to this kind of a crisis.
Yeah. Trevor, always good to talk to you. Tell people where they can find you. Tell people where they can find you online.
Yeah. So, we're at www.forbestate.com. We're also doing a lot of work for a coalition right now called AmericasRecoveryFund.org. That's a group of over 100 different trade industries and chambers of commerce that are really pushing for the right kind of recovery fund relief for people and businesses going forward. So please check out AmericasRecoveryFund.org and have a look.
Trevor, thank you so much. Thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot, Joel.
Trevor Hanger, ladies and gentlemen.